Welcome to Hear Me Out. I'm Celeste Headlee. June is Pride Month, and we're in a climate where across the nation, LGBT plus lives and livelihoods are under attack. You're almost certainly aware of the controversies brewing around Bud Light and Target, two companies that have expressed support for the queer community in recent months. And that support is, not surprisingly, rooted in what many call rainbow capitalism, or monetizing queer culture without really supporting it. The first Pride was a protest. So in this world of rainbows and corporate sponsorship, has Pride strayed too far from its uber-progressive origin story?
There are so many things within Pride that takes away from the rebellious sort of counterculture nature. It shouldn't be mainstream. We are niche.
Comedian and writer H. Allen Scott joins us in just a moment. Stay with us.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable but bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Just a heads up, this episode contains explicit language and quite a bit of it. Listen with caution. Welcome back to Hear Me Out. I'm Celeste Headlee.
Why are you here today?
Darling, I want my gay rights now. I think it's about time the gay brothers and sisters got their rights, and especially the women.
How will this affect you and your job?
Darling, I don't have a job. I'm on welfare. I have no intentions of getting a job as long as this country discriminates against homosexuals.
You're hearing the voice of Marsha P. Johnson, an early and iconic figure in the fight for LGBT rights. Many people say Marsha threw the first brick at the Stonewall riots of 1969. That is not actually true, by Marsha's own admission. But the work she did do with groups like the Gay Liberation Front and New York's Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries, all that work was pivotal. We mention Marsha to remind you that the origins of gay pride are subversive. They are brash. They're often downright radical. And though attacks on LGBTQ plus rights are making national headlines now, it's worth remembering that on the whole, we have come a long way since the 1970s. Today's Pride celebrations look very different from that first one in June of 1970 when 5,000 people marched down Christopher Street in New York. In 2019, about 4 million people turned out for New York's parade, and it is now four times as large as the New Year's Eve event in Times Square. And so the question we pose today is this: has Pride become too normal, too palatable, too much of a spectacle, maybe too commercial, too much of everything to accomplish anything substantive? And on that spectacle front, our guest today wonders if the whole thing is just a little bit tacky. Writer and comedian H. Allen Scott joins us to discuss. Hello there.
Hello. That was a perfect lead-in. I love that. Because for a moment, I was like, I don't like hate Pride, but I do think it's tacky. So it's a perfect introduction. It's a perfect introduction.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. First, for those who don't know you, what do you do?
I'm a writer, comedian. I do lots of things. I'm very indebted into the queer spaces of the world, both with drag and comedy and all the things. But I also am a writer and a journalist, and I host The Parting Shot for Newsweek, and I do a Golden Girls podcast for Mom, which is like a drag sort of podcast network, Mom Moguls of Media. And so, yeah, I do a lot of queer things. And then I also have a gay news sort of news comedy podcast called You're Making It Worse with Elliot Glazer and Brent Sullivan, where we basically just complain about gay people.
It appears, H. Allen, from what I understand, that there's a number of reasons why you feel the Pride Parade has become problematic. Let's start with your strongest or maybe the most significant reason.
Well, let me preface this by saying, before I say anything else, that I do think pride is a necessary thing within the community, within many different communities within queer spaces. And I think it is valuable for a lot of people, particularly marginalized and isolated people in communities where they don't have access to a queer life in the way that I do every single day. My entire existence is very, very queer. Everyone around me is very queer. And I know how privileged I am to live in a world where that is the case. And a lot of people don't have that. So pride is important. Let me say that. However, I just think, A, there's the commercialization of pride, which I, on one hand, I understand. And I also think, like, the corporatization of the same-sex marriage movement that happened in the mid-aughts to going into, like, 2012, 2013, whenever it was the Supreme Court decision was made, corporate America played a huge role in normalizing same-sex marriages, offering benefits to same-sex couples. And that led to acceptance, I think, in a lot of ways, to the marriage decision. So that's a good part of how corporate America is in the queer community. But now with, like, Pride, it's become so big, so bloated, so huge that you almost wonder, like, why am I wearing a rainbow shirt that says Bank of America on it when I bank with Capital One and I don't even like them? Like, it doesn't, there are so many things within Pride that it just takes away from the, like you said at the beginning in your intro, the rebellious sort of like counterculture nature. I mean, I definitely come at it like a John Waters type, like, or like a, just in that, like RuPaul often says, drag is not mainstream and it never will be mainstream. And I also think that with a lot of queer culture, it shouldn't be mainstream. We are niche. That's why our humor is so great. That's why our entertainment is so awesome, is because it's not like what straight people are putting out into the, it's not Home Improvement on ABC. You know what I mean? It's like, it's HBO with a lot of boobs and penis.
So, okay, I want to stick with this commercial aspect here for the moment, because I mean, let me preface what I'm about to say with this, which is that I am cisgender, I am heterosexual, and I feel like I don't have, it's not that I don't have standing to say anything, but really I don't. Like, this is part of the queer community, and I have attended Pride parades, and the LGBTQ+ community has welcomed me there, for which I'm grateful. But this is, I don't think it's my place to say anything on this. But I'm going to push back on a few things from the place where I am, my heterosexual cisgender place.
Yes.
Which is that there seems to be a little bit of confusion, for me at least, in terms of commercialism. Because on the one hand, you have a lot of people from the LGBTQ+ community who criticize Target for pulling transgender products off of their shelves after there were complaints from a tiny number of consumers. Mm-hmm. People in the queer community were like, look, you have to, if you're going to put, you know, sell these products, you have to stand by the community. So how is that different than you saying that Pride has become too commercial?
It's different. Well, let me also just say too, that I think a lot of times within the queer community and outside the queer community, whenever there are these boycott calls, it's like, nobody is actually thinking rationally. No one is actually thinking. Literally, you'll have the hard right being like, pull the products because they're queer. And you'll have the liberal left being like, pull the products because they give money to Republicans. Like, it's just like, and then I just need milk. Like, I literally just need milk. Like, I just need to go to a place and there's a Target literally down the street. So what am I to do? I just need my lactose-free milk that's $3.29 and not $5 at the other grocery store. So like, there, I have that problem, but I hear what you're saying. And I do think, like, with a space like Target, Target is pretty inclusive with all of the holidays, with all of the things that they do in terms of offering plus size stuff, with terms of offering, you know, like anything for Black History Month, for Women's History Month. They actually go hard on a lot of the months and a lot of the holidays. So I do kind of agree with the queer left in that if you're going to do that for all these other months, then and put those products up and center. I mean, I walked into my Target and there was a whole display for Women's History Month. There was a whole display for Black History Month. So like, fortunately, because I live in Los Angeles, the Pride display is still very much front and center when you walk into my Target. And I think that there's an appropriate place for that if the corporate culture is going to actually be inclusive of everybody and include all the holidays. And as we stand right now, there is not a month for the crazy, crazy right. There just isn't. There's not a month for like the small TikTok warriors out there who are like, take down all of the bad things that are supporting minorities that Target's doing. Like, there's no month for that. So Target's not going to have a month for that. But when there is a month, Target should consider it.
Let me like sort of live in this space here for a moment, because there's also criticism for our major corporations donating to support like pride parades and pride events in their own, in the local communities where they have a branch or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And then you get criticism from the LGBTQ plus, say that six times fast, community, because those same corporations are donating money to, say, some anti-LGBTQ plus legislators.
Yeah. I've always thought, I mean, I know exactly what you're asking, because queer people, I mean, in general, I think this is where the rational thinking needs to step in. This is a company. This is a very large company. This is a company with interest within, I mean, just because the way our government works, we have people, companies have to work with legislators, have to work with state houses, have to work with the federal government for lots of different things, and they have influence. We can have a conversation about the influence of corporate America on politics, sure, but at the end of the day, the way it stands right now, corporate America does have an influence within our politics. And yeah, I don't mind Target giving money to a Republican just as much as they give, I hope they give just as much money to a Democrat as well. Like, it has to be split, and I understand the need to have that sort of even-handed giving based on where you are and what you're doing. And sure, there are Republicans out there who say abhorrent things about LGBTQ, and they have horrible stances when it comes to women's rights and other things. There are many that are against the policies of Target, and Target is still giving money to those politicians. And it's because there has to be sort of like a, I have to put that, just like queer people for years had to put aside Democrats saying, okay, we support gay people, but we don't support gay marriage. And we had that up until Obama. And we had to rationally say, I'm going to support this person, even though he does not support my fundamental value to marry. And I'm gonna understand that this person at least will have my back for the most part, even though he's saying that I'm a second-class citizen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. As a Black and Jewish woman, I absolutely know what you mean.
Yeah.
So let's dig into a little bit more aspects of your criticisms of Pride. Are you talking about, when you say Pride, are you talking specifically about the parades, like that very first one after the Stonewall or year after the Stonewall riots? Or are you talking about all of the Pride? You know, sometimes they'll have music festivals and fashion shows.
Well, I'm going to step back a little bit from what you said and correct that technically it is not a parade. It is a march. And there's a reason why it's a march, because when the first one happened, it was a march for equality. It was a march for civil rights for queer people. So now today it looks a lot like a parade. Sure.
And they're called parade. Like, if you look it up, they're called Pride Parade.
In many places, they're called parades. But I think, and this is part of, I think, my own irky nature with Pride, in that like, we need to get back to the idea of a march. We need to get back to an idea of saying, we might not be the majority, we might not be all these things, but we're going to march for our rights, for equality, against the things that people are saying about us. And yeah, we might not be necessarily mainstream, but this is a march for our equality, for our people to recognize and see who, and marches have that ability. They have the ability to bring people together of all different types of people and see the support that you have within your community. So I think it should get back to the march element. And that's probably my biggest, outside of me just not liking the marches happening in the summertime, because I don't like being outdoors. And I also hate hate the aesthetic of a rainbow. I think it is the worst aesthetic in the world. It just grosses
me out. We're gonna dig into that. Yeah, all right.
It's just tacky to me on a purely aesthetic level. And this is what pisses me off, is that I don't like the rainbow aesthetic and I don't like being outside, but because there is so much happening against the queer community in terms of the drag bans, in terms of Don't Say Gay, in terms of so many different things where people are attacking the queer community in a really vocal and violent way, now I'm kind of forced to like rainbow stuff. I feel like my hand is being pulled to wear a rainbow pin or something, which annoys. Can I curse? Can I say bad words
here?
Yes,
you can curse.
It annoys the fuck out of me because I'm like, I don't want to wear a rainbow piece of shit thing, but because I'm so scared about what's happening to my community and what people are saying, I feel like I have to, even though I'm literally a walking pride parade everywhere I go, but I feel like I have to wear a rainbow thing just to be like, yeah, I'm with you, but I hate this thing I'm wearing. You know what I mean?
I totally get what you're wearing. What you're saying. I mean, I had a kid who liked certain things that I ended up having to wear, t-shirts or whatever. You know, sometimes we wear stuff we don't particularly like. But we have about 2 minutes before we take a break. And I want to go back to this idea of the march versus the parade.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, I've been to a number of pride events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was absolutely nothing about protest in them.
Yeah.
Nothing. They were not political. There weren't people holding. I mean, if you look back at the pictures of the very first one, that people were holding very pointed signs. They were in some cases calling out particular politicians.
Yeah.
That's often these events are parades because they're not political, because they're not part of protests. Mm-hmm. Is that part of your criticism, that you feel like that should change?
I wouldn't even necessarily call it a criticism, but it is. I mean, and there's a lot of people, and I think would agree in this, that fundamentally, when you walk out the door in your marginalized self, whatever it is, being queer, being woman, being black, being openly Jewish, being all of the things that we can be, I think inherently, because of the culture we live in, you are already making a political statement. It is already a form of protest in order to be out in this world. And so fundamentally, every queer person walking in a pride thing is making a political statement. But I do think it should lean more, especially in this climate that we have, lean more into the idea of calling out who we are and saying this is who we are and we are proud and we are protesting the bans and we are protesting Don't Say Gay and we are saying no matter what you say about us. There's a great show on HBO called We're Here, and in one of the episodes in Florida, they were talking about the Don't Say Gay bill and all of the bans that were happening there. And they had a nice little march with the queens leading the march of people who support queer people and don't support Don't Say Gay. And that's what it should be. That's what it should be for me. The people coming together in a group saying we don't agree with this and we're standing with these people. And that should be the element of art. That should be the element of pride to me. That should be the basis of pride.
All right. We are going to continue this conversation because we have to get into that whole rainbow thing.
Please.
I'm Celeste Headlee and I'm speaking with H. Allen Scott. We're talking about whether or not pride parades need to either change their season, change their color palette, or change altogether. This is Hear Me Out, a podcast from Slate, and we'll be right back.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Welcome back. This is Hear Me Out, a podcast from Slate, and I am Celeste Headlee. With me today is H. Alan Scott, writer, comedian, many, many, many hats this man wears. But today we are talking about Pride parades slash marches slash events. And you have raised a number of issues with the events, the celebrations. We talked a little bit about how commercial they have become and how problematic it can be sometimes to be connected with particular corporations. We talked a little bit about the fact that they are no longer explicitly associated with political protest or any kind of protest march. But let's go back to your problem with rainbows.
Okay. I'm happy to bash a rainbow any day.
Is that why you say that these events are tacky? Is it the rainbow?
I feel like the thing I just said, if I ever get super famous, they're going to use that clip only of me being like, I'm happy to bash a rainbow any day. let me just say, like I said before, it's just the aesthetic of a rainbow. I mean, look at me. I wear all black. My personality is way too colorful for color. I don't need all of that color in my life. And I think if you're wearing that much color, you're trying too hard. I just hate the aesthetic of a rainbow. It's just, it literally is a trigger for me. It irks me. I don't know. It's too bright.
That's complaints at hallenscott.com. That's.
I mean, yeah, I will support it. I'll reluctantly wear it because of the culture that we're in right now. However, know that when I'm wearing it, I'm actually in hell, but not because of my sexuality, because of my immense taste that I have.
So what would you replace it with?
That's a great question. I would replace it with more people wearing the clothes they probably want to wear but are too afraid to wear.
For you, what would that outfit look
well,
like?
Well, I mean, so there's a lot of sort of queer men and men in general, I think, who have been told that you have to wear these parts of the store. You have to only shop in this part of the store. And there's no spectrum in terms of, like, clothing doesn't have a gender. And I feel like because of toxic masculinity, there's a lot of men out there who feel like they have to wear jeans and a t-shirt, jeans and a tank top, tennis shoes only, et cetera, et cetera. And I pretty much exclusively only shop in the women's department, mainly because that's the only things that fit me half the time, because they don't make a lot of plus size stuff for men. But also, it's because I've always subscribed to the school of Diane Keaton fashion. A lot of really baggy things, flowy things, hats, black, whites, beiges sometimes. And I would love to see more sort of intersectional fashion that happens in the world. I think that to me would be a lovely expression of your own identity, if wearing whatever you actually want to wear and not what you feel like society says you should wear.
So I'm trying to imagine this in my mind. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that would be, as you say, gray, especially in New York. I mean, New Yorkers love a black and a gray.
Well, and I lived in New York for 10 years, so that explains a lot about me.
That's not a stereotype. Well, it is a stereotype, but it's a stereotype based on truth. Like, they've done studies, like New Yorkers wear black a lot.
Exactly.
So the event, the celebration in New York might be all blacks and grays?
I'm fine with that. I mean,
really?
I'm also fine with nudity. So if you want to wear no shirt, that's fine too. I mean, and that goes for all the genders. If you want to wear like booty shorts, go out, wear the booty shorts, but make sure you wear a booty short that you want to wear and not what everyone is telling you to wear. I don't necessarily care that much about the rainbow. It's not like a thing I'm going to die on. It's not a hill I'm going to die on or anything. But it's also just like, if I have a choice to wear anything, and if I if I'm like the executive director of queer people in the world, I'm going to have the first meeting I would have as executive director. Maybe let's talk about the rainbow. Now, that said, the rainbow flag has a very important role in our history because of where it was created and the whole what the colors mean. And I understand all of that. I'm speaking purely from an aesthetic standpoint.
Okay. So this brings us to another common complaint about the parades, which is when people do complain about them, it's often from parents who say it's not suitable for children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's partly because of what you're talking about, because of people wearing what they, I assume, what they want to wear, which is sometimes very sexual.
Yeah.
So what do you make of that? It sounds like you're still okay with it. Should these pride events not be family friendly?
There's that whole thing. What is family friendly, first off? That's what I want to ask. Because the families who are complaining about pride parades the last weekend also took them to a WWE match. So, like, is that family friendly? Because those guys are wearing a lot less than what a lot of these drag queens are wearing. And frankly, my growing up, I was having more private relations to the guys on WWE or F or whatever it was than I ever was to anything queer. So I'm just saying, if we want to talk about family friendly, let's talk about all the areas of family friendly. But I don't. That whole idea and the whole conversation around grooming and everything, it makes me so angry because it's like, it's so loaded and it's so intentionally homophobic and transphobic in a way that they're saying, oh, I don't mind drag queens or I don't mind just don't bring the kids around it. And it's like, but yet you're okay with your kids watching these wrestling matches and watching these things on television and playing these games that are already hypersexualized and the kids are growing up fine. The kids are all right. There is nothing wrong with the kids. In fact, their exposure to lots of different types of people and personalities and clothing and the way people wear those clothing is actually a good thing because it's giving them that mindset that they have all of the options to be whoever they want to be. They're all right, guys. Stop freaking out.
Okay, so you're okay with the, you know, outfits, the songs that get sung, sometimes the very suggestive signs people carry. That's all okay.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it's okay. What I'm saying is it's unavoidable. Not just in the queer spaces, but in every single space in our society, it is unavoidable. A child who has TikTok cannot avoid sexualization and suggestive images. They're seeing more of those images on TikTok and in other spots that they're getting entertainment than just at that one day at the Pride Parade. So I'm not saying it's okay, bad, or good, because I'm not a parent and I don't want to ever subscribe to being able to parent. And that's what's also pissing me off is that, like, they're saying that drag queens are grooming children and the presence of even just a drag queen in drag is sexual in some way. When in reality, if you know anything about drag, that queen is largely fully covered head to toe.
Yes.
Fully covered head to toe.
Fully covered.
There's nothing sexual about this person. And yet they think that that's grooming and it's pissing me off because it's like, I don't want to be around kids. I don't like kids. I don't want kids in around my life.
That's but complaints yet, at HL.
Exactly. Yes. But because they're saying that it's grooming and stuff, I feel the need to like be super nice to kids now just to prove a point. And it's like, it's pissing me off because now I'm being forced to wear rainbows and talk to children and be happy about children when I don't want to be any of those things because the right is making me be those things. And if anything, the right is grooming me to be like a more inclusive homosexual, and it's making me very angry.
Okay, so then I have to ask. I mean, again, this is a show all about civil disagreement. So let me disagree with you a little bit here and say perhaps you're not the best person to be deciding what the celebration should look like. I mean, you're talking, yeah.
I agree with you 1000%. I am not the person who should be leading anything with, but that said, I do think different takes and different opinions. And that's sort of the problem with both the right and the left in terms of this conversation is that there's no gray area. There's no nuance. There's no rational thinking in terms of like, okay, so the right is saying crazy, crazy things about queer people, crazy things. And sometimes the left is also responding in a crazy isolationist sort of way that isn't giving anybody any ground to sort of like have any middle ground and just live their life and do things. And so I kind of feel like I'm sort of in the middle being like, Okay, I come from Missouri. I understand crazy people who say crazy things about conservative issues. Like, I get that. Like, I've been around those people. But I now have spent the majority of my adult life in New York and Los Angeles, so I also get what the crazy left is saying as well. And all I'm saying is, can we stop freaking out? Can we stop boycotting everything? And would you just let me buy a thing of milk? Just let me buy the milk. And then we'll have the conversation.
Okay. So then let's talk about sort of why it bothers you, the state of our current Pride Month celebrations. Why does that bother you? I mean, there must be something else going on here besides the fact that you feel compelled to smile at kids instead of ignore them, wear a rainbow instead of black and gray, and go out in the summertime. Or am I reading too much into this? Is that it?
That is a large part of it. I'll admit that. But I also firmly believe, now I understand the root of Pride comes in the third Sunday of June because of the Stonewall riots. Yes. I get all of that. I understand the point of that. I'm just saying that COVID has allowed us to be more in tune with our bodies and how we react with nature, and going outdoors is a whole different experience for us now. And so what I'm saying is most people are most comfortable in the fall, or even I would give you spring, like in those sort of even temperatured months. Wouldn't a Pride parade or Pride march be like beautiful if everyone was wearing a coat? Think of what you could do with coats at Pride. Think of what you could do in like an autumnal season with Pride, and the colors of the autumnal season is perfect because it's like, it's a full spectrum. You could do a rainbow, but make it muted fall colored rainbows. How great would that be? Like, that is a perfect Pride for me. I think it's genius. I think it's a genius idea. And if anyone if GLAAD is listening, maybe start a petition that would officially change Pride to a like an October. Oh my God. And frankly, Halloween is basically Pride. Like, it's Pride for straight people. So like, why don't we just make Halloween Pride and everyone would be happy? Everyone would be happy.
Okay. It feels like if you mute the colors of a rainbow, you're kind of missing the purpose of a rainbow, but that's just me. Again, I don't have a pony in this race.
I think you're making it more inclusive of all different shades.
All right. We're going to take a break. First, just for those, to keep our listeners up to date with this, if you're not aware of the Stonewall riots, they're also known as the Stonewall Rebellion. That happened because of a police raid on a gay bar, the Stonewall Inn, which is in Greenwich Village, which is in Lower Manhattan. And actually, police did raids on gay bars a lot in the 1960s, but they lost control. Tensions grew really high. There were major protests. They went on for quite some time. That's why we had the first Pride parade in New York, Pride March, a year after the Stonewall uprising. And that's when people say Stonewall, that's what they mean. In the meantime, we're going to continue this conversation because there's so much more to talk about. I'm talking to H. Allen Scott, and we're talking about Pride. This is Hear Me Out, a podcast from Slate. I'm Celeste Headlee, and we will be right back.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com offers convenient mobile tire installation in many areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on-site. At home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. Learn more at TireRack.com.
Welcome back to Hear Me Out, a podcast from Slate. I'm Celeste Headlee, and today we are talking about Pride with H. Allen Scott. So this leads me to another question, because when we talk about the Stonewall riots, you cannot talk about the Stonewall uprising without talking about police. Mm-hmm. And this leads me to another sort of confusing issue when it comes to many celebrations. Because at the same time that oftentimes these parades and events and festivals pay money to have police protection there to prevent some of the people who openly want to do violence and do violence against members of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an event that is very much not in line with the police and their mission and their history. Mm-hmm. What am I, a straight person, to make of this?
Yeah, it's such a complicated area, only because I firmly believe, it's just my opinion, that we need to have less policing in the country and more alternative ways of, I mean, look at other countries' models in terms of how they handle lots of different things. And a lot of times, if you have social workers out there, people who actually can assist with mental health capacities, you can do a lot with that and a lot less policing. So, but that's a different conversation. That said, if you believe that way, if you're of the opinion that I am in terms of how we should be policing in our society, and if you think that, then of course it causes a problem for something like a pride march and a pride festivity, that you're going to need security in some capacity. And how does that security look? And we all know rent-a-cops don't really do a lot. So you need kind of like a police. And also, just as a Jewish American, you know, I go to temple on Yom Kippur and there's the police presence outside in a lot of major cities. And it's only because of the attacks that are happening, currently happening, not only against Jewish Americans, but also against queer Americans and against Black Americans. There's a reason why in some states in this country, because of mass shootings, that when there are large presences of church activities, they go to Black churches or they go to temples or they go to whatever it is, to mosques. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing with pride, in that, like, there needs to be an understanding that this is a, even though you can have your political beliefs and you can have your opinions, you also have to acknowledge that there's a lot of crazy people out there who want to do a lot of harm to queer people. And so I think a muted police presence, an inclusive police presence, and I'm fortunate to live in a city that has a police force like in West Hollywood that is inclusive, and they put that as a factor in terms of how they police. Now, of course, there are problems with West Hollywood's police department, but that said, that at least they're at least understanding of the nature. Now, a lot of cities don't have that, but I understand the need for police there, but I also believe that we need less of a police presence in our daily lives in general. So it's so complicated and such a thorny issue, but I sort of, again, get into that sort of middle area of rationalizing. I don't like what's happening with the policing in America, but I understand the need for them being at Pride.
Yeah, it is thorny. And it can be confusing, because at the same time that there are legitimate complaints about interactions between police forces and members of the LGBTQ plus community, especially trans people,
yeah,
the police unions themselves are among the first to say, you complain about us, but you're the first to ask us for protection against other people.
And we need, I mean, and that's the problem, because we also have, like, just recently there was a trans activist who was arrested during a protest by and so there's a lot of problems with policing in the United States and how they react to lots of different situations. And we need a larger discussion about policing, which is very separate from their need for presence at Pride festivities. And the only reason why fundamentally they need to even be at Pride, I don't need them walking around with a rainbow pin on or anything. I don't need that. I don't even want them standing in line for a hot dog with me, even though I'd be in hell because I'd have an umbrella trying to block myself from the sun, like all of the things, but I'm going to get the hot dog. I don't need them around my hot dog enjoyment. I want them in the corners, making sure that the crazies don't come in and try to do something horrible, horrible, which we know, because of the world we live in right now, at large scale events, when large people gather, crazy things can happen. And we need protection from those crazy things happening.
Okay. But because of all the things that you're talking about, I have to bring it back to politics. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, coming from my position, it feels to me like those pride parades and events and celebrations are necessary.
Yeah.
That you know, Mike Pence is running for president. We know Trump is running for president again. There's a lot that Ron DeSantis is running for president. There are politicians who want to really restrict, if not endanger, the entire LGBTQ plus community, and especially particular parts of it. So however pride happens and whatever color palettes it uses, we need it, right?
Yes, and like I said at the very beginning of this, I think that there is a, especially for a lot of people, I'm thinking of people in, I remember when I was in St. Louis and I would go to the gay bars, and I come from a Mormon family. I'm Jewish now, but I was raised Mormon, and I come from a pretty liberal Mormon family, but I would go to like the drag shows downtown or to the gay bars downtown. And there were some people who would drive literally 2 hours just to come to a gay bar, like from middle of nowhere, Illinois, or middle of nowhere, Missouri. And that always sort of stayed with me and sort of sits with me, because I recognize that there is a need, that the life that I live, the inclusive life surrounded by queer people that I live, is actually pretty rare for most Americans, for most queer Americans. And we need that outlet. We need more spaces of inclusivity. We need more spaces where queer spaces that people can go to and feel like they can let their hair down, literally wear whatever they want to wear and do what they want to do. And pride, unfortunately, is the only option for a lot of these people, because it's the only thing that happens every single year that they can drive to and have and be around queer people. And what I'm hoping for is in the future, there's a lot more inclusive spaces, so that maybe that dude who drove 2 hours from the middle of nowhere, Illinois, might have something a little bit closer to home that he can go to on a weekly basis and feel better about his own identity.
So what is the obligation of the heterosexual community then? Do we step back and let your community decide how, when, where, why? Or do we have a responsibility to show up for those events?
You all also are pretty fucked up. I mean, straight people, like, you guys are so opinionated, and it's just like, shut the fuck up, watch your Tim Allen shit or whatever you're watching, and like, just be calm for a little bit and let us do our thing, and you're welcome to come do our thing with us. Just know that, like, you need to be respectful and maybe stop asking questions about, like, you know, stop asking trans people, have you had the surgery? Or stop asking drag queens what they think about Drag Queen Story Hour or any of the things. Like, just be chill, dude. Eat the fucking hot dog and, like, you know, walk around and have fun and be included and just accept it all, and then just calm the fuck down. And then when you go home, tell your friends, oh, I went to this pride thing and it was lots of fun. Or I went to this gay bar and it was lots of fun. And not like, you'll never believe what I saw. Like, we're not a clown act. We're not a circus act. It doesn't need, you don't need to go back and tell this shocking thing, because it's not necessary. Just be chill.
So I have a lot of thoughts, and it's a little difficult for me because I'm not afraid to give my opinion. I mean, my opinion is I like a rainbow. I like most children, and I love a pride parade. Like, I think they are so fun. I don't just buy the hot dog. I buy the pom-poms. I put on my rainbow gear and I have a really good time. On the other hand, this is about the LGBTQ plus community. And though I support them and love them and want nothing but the best for them, not just safety, but joy, this isn't my fight, right? Like, this isn't my community, and they should be allowed to make the decisions for themselves. So that brings me to you, dear listeners. What do you think about this, especially if you are a member of the LGBTQ plus community, especially if you have been concerned about things that have occurred politically? Maybe you are one of our listeners who supports some of the changes, like the Don't Say Gay bill. Maybe you're concerned about having a pride parade march down the street in your town. We want to hear that point of view. We want to hear all these points of view. And we hope that you send us some emails. On that note, we want to share this note. We received it from a listener named Annie, and it was about the conversation we had with Gio Mar a few weeks ago. He talked about the future of policing. So though we got this note a few weeks ago, Annie mentioned an issue that we just talked about in this episode. Annie wrote this: I could not agree more with Gio Marr. He was absolutely right that feel-good stories of cops doing the right thing are exceptional. I'm horrified by what seems like a complete abdication by progressives and liberals to hold anyone accountable. 400 million guns are carried by people who have no reason to believe they'll face consequences. Target is letting neo-Nazis dictate what they sell. SCOTUS is blatantly and unapologetically corrupt. I'm so sad for American youth. I'm afraid there is a high risk for extremely violent future, and police continue to be a key driver. First of all, Annie, please make sure that you are taking care of yourself because you sound anxious. And it's understandable. Thank you for your note. And it brings us back to the subject that keeps coming up again and again and again, which is that we're living in an age in which extremists have a bigger and louder voice than they have for a very, very long time. And how we deal with that and how we respond to that as a society is not only important, but also a little bit complicated. So, you know, don't just respond to what you heard from H. Allen Scott. Let us know what you think about what Annie said. We love hearing from listeners. And again, our email address is hearmeout@slate.com. Hear Me Out is a podcast from Slate. The show is produced by Maura Curry. Ben Richmond is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations. And Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. I'm your host, Celeste Headlee. So until next time, speak your mind, but keep it open.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, "Sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough." This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.